views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Moms, are you ready to become enlightened, empowered, and stress-free? Well, get ready because you are about to tune into vibrant, powerful moms helping everyday women create an extraordinary life with Debbie Pokornik. Each week, Debbie discusses topics to help you become self-aware, inspired, and on track to create the life you crave. It's time to stop settling and start thriving. And it all begins now on Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show. I'm your host, Debbie Pokornik, and my mission is to help as many people as possible, moms especially, to awaken to their vibrant, powerful selves so that they can fully enjoy the life they've come here to live, and also so they can help to spread peace and love on the planet. So in line with this thinking, today I want to talk about some secrets to being a vibrant woman. Before I dive into this topic, I want you to know that on my website at empoweringenergy.com, you can find a complimentary report that's called The 5 Secrets to Being a Vibrant Woman. And so you can pick a copy of it up if you want to have this information to keep, to read it over, share with others, whatever. It's not exactly what I'm going to talk about today, but it's very close and it will save you if you are the kind of person who likes to take notes. All right. So let's dive in. Being a vibrant woman is not always easy. It requires you to be proactive, to take the lead in your life, to live mindfully, and so on. Vibrancy is more than a healthy body, although the two things can be very closely connected. But it also requires you to be self-aware, to be willing to listen to what your body's telling you, and to tune in to the many messages coming your way from a higher power, whether you call that source or the universe or God or whatever. Now, this might sound overwhelming and even a little bit scary, but in truth, it is simply about living your life in the driver's seat and ensuring that you are controlling what you can, accepting what you can't, and using your wisdom to know the difference. Sound familiar? It's that old serenity prayer, and it is really, really true. So let's get on with those secrets. Secret number one, take full advantage of the moment. Living in the moment is not a new idea, at least not for the last several years. Yet it is still something that most of us struggle with. When you're using a moment to recharge yourself, you really want to awaken all of your senses, go off of autopilot, quiet your mind, and be firmly grounded in your body. Now, that is not always easy to do. So let me share an example of how I might do this. I love green tea. So when I sit down with a freshly brewed cup of tea, I will often take a moment, empty my mind of anything else, and then I'll breathe in deeply. I'll smell the tea, I'll feel the warmth of the mug in my hand, I'll gaze at the color, I'll taste the full flavor of the tea, run it over my whole tongue. Sometimes I even tap my ring against the mug because for some reason I really like that sound. It's quite possible I like it because it reminds me of my pleasurable cup of tea. And then I take one more step. I'll visualize a cord going from my tailbone down deep into the earth and anchoring me there. That's how I get fully grounded. Now, sometimes I might even take this a step further because I know that I love the sun and I love the feeling of grass beneath my feet. So when I can, which is not right now because there's actually snow outside where I live, but I might take my cup of tea outside, stand on the grass, close my eyes, turn my face up and soak in the sun's rays. And while I'm doing this, I listen to the birds, I hear the breeze in the trees, I feel the breeze on my skin, I feel the grass under my feet, I smell the earth, I smell the tea, and so on. Now, I call this in the moment for a moment. And the more moments like these I can create in a day, the more vibrant I feel. Now, in my opinion, it would be impossible to always tune in to everything. I think we drive ourselves crazy. So if you think about it, like right now, in fact, while I'm talking to you, in order to take full advantage of the moment, I'm purposely tuning out other things in my environment. So my eyes are flitting from my notes to the time to a window that looks outside, which I'm not really seeing anything outside. I'm just staring at it with a blank gaze while I'm thinking about what I want to share with you. Now, unless my dogs start to bark or phone rings in the other room, I'm pretty much oblivious to any other sounds in my room, except for anything I hear through my headset. So my point is, sometimes to really be in the moment, you need to focus in fully on what you're doing. Eliminate any of those distractions that aren't necessary for you to do the work at hand. So the key pieces to taking full advantage of the moment: know what you need to be successful and focus in on that. Remove as many distractions as you can. Quiet your mind of any extraneous, life-draining things. This is a big thing. Stop worrying about something that's going to be happening in the future, or really pondering over and over again that maybe argument that you had that morning with your partner or with your child, or going through your to-do list and thinking about your day and the overwhelm that comes with that. When you tune out of all of those kinds of things, your brain is able to really work on whatever it is you're doing in that moment. And so it allows you to use your power to help you make things happen in the here and now. And that's the only place where you can really do anything. So when it comes to living a vibrant life, tune into your senses as often as you can. Consciously shift off autopilot when you can, especially in those little pleasurable moments. You want to find them and you want to net them wherever you can. Quiet your mind of the chatter, the unnecessary stuff, and do what you can to get grounded. When you put your full focus on the moment itself, you will get more done. You will do better work. You will feel more connected to the person you're spending time with, and you'll let your radiant self shine through. Secret number two: learn how to release stress and rejuvenate yourself on the go. Stress has become such a big deal for most of us. So many people are experiencing major health issues, burnout, breakdowns, all kinds of things from stress. It really affects how we parent, how well we communicate, our ability to perform, and on and on and on. However, stress also motivates you to get things done. It lets you know when you're taking on too much, and it can help you out when extra stamina is required. Stress actually arises every time you try something new, including a new job, moving, holidays, going on a trip, if you've just had a baby, or maybe you're just pregnant for the first time, even second time, third time, doesn't matter, still stressful. Trying a sport or even learning a new computer game. Everything new that you do because of that learning cycle can cause you extra stress. In fact, stress is so closely connected with every aspect of your life, it makes sense that you learn how to live with it rather than thinking you need to eliminate it from your life. The problem is, you may not know how to tune into your stress level and listen to what it has to say. So for example, let's just say you're stressed because of a deadline at work. You know that this is stressful for you, but you also really enjoy your job and you recognize that this is part and parcel of what you signed up for. So you're busy troubleshooting and, you know, fixing whatever needs to be fixed and racing around from here to there, and you're in your element. You're stressed, but you're loving it. Now, let's say you get a call from the school that your child's eye is looking a little pink. So you better come pick them up, take them to the doctor, because you have to make sure it's not the dreaded and very contagious pink eye. Suddenly, that stress isn't feeling so good. You're not super concerned about the pink eye at this moment because he was fine this morning when he left for school, but you're very concerned about your deadline and the fact that you now have to create a plan to deal with this situation. Maybe you're going to have to leave work And maybe you'll have to find a walk-in, which means you could end up spending the whole afternoon sitting in the waiting room. Not to mention, the school has now kind of made you feel dirty because someone can't tell you that your child or something about you is contagious and not make you feel kind of dirty. Your child is probably super anxious, you suddenly realize, because he hates being singled out in any situation. So he's going to be impossible to live with. Oh, and what if you're wrong? What if he really is sick? What kind of parent ignores their child's puffy red eye just because they have something important going on at work? Can you see how, because you were stressed, that this new situation immediately took you into a too stressed zone and made you start to worry, to second guess yourself, to think about all the problems? And this could be like 3 minutes after you got the phone call from the school. So the call from the school on its own might not have been a big deal. But when you add it to the rest of your circumstances and this runaway brain, trouble can arise. So I like to teach people to notice their elastic. And I'm not going to go into this because it is available in this handout on my website that I mentioned. So you can go to empoweringenergy.com and get that handout if you want. But what I want you to know is, knowing how your elastic works helps you to figure out what your sweet spot is. In other words, what's the amount of stress that you can have in your life so that you feel motivated and purposeful and get things done without actually causing you health concerns and other problems that make you spin out of control? The simple answer to dealing with stress is to become aware of how much stress you're dealing with, learn where your sweet spot is, and then learn a variety of great tools to help decrease the negative effects when the tension starts to increase, your elastic starts to stretch. Now, you want to have tools you can use in any situation. So if running is what you like to do when you're feeling stressed, in this case, it's not going to be a great answer unless you have to run from work to the school, right? And so you don't want to only have running in your basket of tools. So I always encourage people, have a lot of really great tools that you can use in any different situation, whether you're in a meeting or whatever. So here's some of my favorites. Deep breathing. There's so many different wonderful ways to breathe that can help you to release some of the tension. Having some regular daily dark chocolate. It's true. It burns off cortisol. It's very good for you. Cortisol is a hormone that is released when you're feeling stressed. So having a piece, just about an ounce, is really good for you. That has to be really dark, I'll warn you now, but it's still well worth it, I think. Vitamin C also helps to burn off cortisol. Being mindful, meditation, yoga, walking barefoot in the grass, or even just going for a walk out in nature really helps me. Petting an animal, spending time with friends, having a quality hug, laughter. Becoming aware of how stress feels in your body, where you feel the tension, how far your patience level drops when these things happen, can help you to take action and spend more time in the sweet spot. And that will help you to be vibrant. Secret number three, become aware of foods that strengthen you as well as those which steal your glow. You truly are an individual, especially when it comes to what fuels you the best. I don't do well with dairy, gluten, or beef, but that doesn't mean that that'll be true for you. Learning what your needs are is an important part of self-awareness. There's so much information out there today on what's good for you, what's bad for you, what's dangerous, what's life-enhancing, and it keeps switching all around. So that in itself can be really stressful because you don't know who to believe. So my answer is to take charge and figure it out for yourself. There's some really simple tests that can be done, like where you send some hair in, just pull some out of your head and put it in an envelope and send it in, and they do an analysis on it. And they'll come back and tell you what foods weaken you, what foods strengthen you. It even includes things like water. It's not just foods. You can also have blood tests done, and there's even live blood cell analysis where you actually go and they just prick your finger and get one little drop of blood and take a look at it. Kinesthetic muscle testing is another very effective way to figure out what foods strengthen you and what weaken you. So you can become a detective on your own and start figuring out what strengthens you and what weakens you. You might even want to try an elimination diet where you take everything, well, not everything, because that wouldn't be healthy, but you take lots of things out and then you slowly start adding them back in. I try to do a detox where I take all sugar and gluten and dairy and alcohol and caffeine and so on. I try to do that every year, once a year, just to reset my body and get it all working really great. Now, if this sounds like too much work, start by noticing what you're eating and how much of it's processed versus whole foods. And then rather than, say, buying a can of peaches off the shelf, go to the store and buy a peach, or even better, a farmer's market. And better still is if you have a peach tree close by that you can go pick it fresh. Stay away from foods with names on their ingredient list that you can't pronounce or you wouldn't normally consider edible. Like propylene glycol, for example. I don't know why they put it in muffins. It's ridiculous to me. At the very least, avoid the main dangers that even those that contradict one another all seem to agree on, which are things like trans fat, high fructose corn syrup, MSG, and the fake sweeteners. You can go on the internet and search these things and get lots of really great information on these topics if you want to know more. You don't have to take my word for it. Dr. Josh Axe is one of my favorites who shares lots of information and talks about everything. So he's really wonderful. Quite a huge internet presence. So this is not about being super stringent about what you eat and drink. I think that we've already been pushed enough by that whole diet mentality and counting our calories and knowing how much of this we're having and how much of that. This is not what I'm talking about at all. This is about becoming aware so that you can make decisions that will help you to feel vibrant and healthy most days. Over time, awareness itself will start to guide your decisions, allowing you to put your energy into enjoying your health. I actually share a trick for testing for food sensitivity, as well as another trick for reducing the amount of processed foods in your life that worked really well for me. They're both in that handout. So I don't want you to think I'm really trying to push that handout. It's just that if you want these kind of extra little notes, if this topic intrigues you, I want you to have access to that information. So feel free to go and pick it up. Secret number four is to keep oxytocin flowing. Now, in the booklet on my website, I mentioned that number four might make you blush. And in the report, it might just do that. On this show, I'm going to keep the conversation PG so I don't get in trouble with any of my hosts. So if you wonder, though, if certain intimate acts fall into this category, they most definitely do. Oxytocin is a hormone that makes you feel connected to others. It feels good when it flows through your body, and your body is meant to have a lot of it. Women have far more receptors for this delicious little hormone to adhere to, which means it sticks with us for a longer amount of time and helps us to be vibrant. So how do you get oxytocin flowing? Well, there's lots of wonderful ways, but I narrow it down for people by suggesting they think about pleasure. Anything pretty much that they associate with pleasure will likely get the oxytocin flowing. In fact, I usually say pleasure and oxytocin often arrive at the party together. So think of heart-to-heart hugs, shared laughter, meaningful conversation, and really connecting with somebody else, gazing at your baby. In fact, oxytocin is actually involved in letting your milk down and also helping women go into labor. But since we can't really count those as ones, you know, that are there for all of us, it's not regular day-to-day in life, I don't include them on my list. Okay. But it's good to know anyways. Quality time with your kids, though. That's also another way to get oxytocin flowing. Or playing with a pet. Even being really authentic with someone, tapping into your passions, those can get this hormone flowing. Now, I have a tool that I love to teach called the oxytocin breath, and I don't think I'm going to have time to teach it here right now, but once again, it is in that handout, so if you want to know more, please check that out. Secret number five, ask for what you need. Being assertive comes into play here. Okay, being able to stand up for yourself without attacking others or putting them down, that's what being assertive is all about. So many people are taking an aggressive or a passive aggressive stance when they aren't getting their way. And then they think that they're being assertive, but that's not what being assertive is all about. Other times people aren't aggressive at all, but they fall back on manipulation tactics like guilt, for example, to get what they want. So that's not asking for what you need. That's not standing up for yourself. And that's not what I mean when I say ask for what you need. Boundaries also come into play in this conversation. Knowing what's important to you. What are your values? What are your expectations as a result of those values? And knowing how to express your needs to others, these are both part of asking what you need. So many people struggle with boundaries and wind up in a codependent relationship where you no longer remember where you end and the other person begins, or maybe even saying yes when you really want to say no, which results in overcommitment or doing something that you really didn't want to do, all because you didn't want to upset the apple cart by saying no to someone. This is a really big problem for a lot of women. Many females struggle with the idea of asking for help and fear it makes them look weak or sound needy. We've been taught to think we should be able to do it all. Work, raise kids, volunteer, be a great daughter, help out your neighbor in distress. You can do it all, but that doesn't mean that you should. Asking for help can strengthen your relationships, teach great skills, and make your to-do list more doable. So ask for the help that you need. The more self-aware you are and the clearer you are with all the people in your life, the easier it will be for you to tap into your own vibrancy and shine your light for all the world to see. So that's it. That's the five secrets that you can use to increase how vibrant, loving, connected, open, and wonderful you feel. Now, these aren't the only secrets. There's plenty of other things that you can do, but these are key areas that will give you the greatest return for all of your efforts. So I feel like I have a little bit of extra time here. I am going to teach you how to do an oxytocin breath. And I hope that you will give it a try, because this is a way to get this beautiful hormone flowing through your body, but only if you give it a true, honest to goodness effort. All right. So here's how it goes. You're going to breathe in, open mouth is fine, all the way down into your belly. So if you put your hands on your belly, you should feel your belly move out when you breathe in. And on the exhale, you're going to make a ha sound. I call it the pleasure sound. All right. What you're trying to do here is you're trying to get what's called the vagus nerve down in the belly to actually move or vibrate. And when you do that, oxytocin will be released. So I'm going to do it with you. I'm going to do it. I'm hoping, I'm going to trust that you're doing it too. And if you can't do it right now for some reason, then I encourage you to try this in your car when you're by yourself, when you're at home, when you're out for a walk, somewhere that you can. And if you think people might hear you and think you're strange, have something beside you that is really delicious. It can be a mug, so they don't know what's in it. It can be a piece of chocolate. It can be a donut, whatever. And you can just hold that up and go, oh, this is good, when they look at you, all right? So here's how you do it. You're going to breathe in. Now, for you, you're going to need to do it at least two more times. And when you do it the third time, you're going to notice a difference in how you feel. You might feel silly, like laughing. You might feel kind of like you're in love. Okay, it's a strange feeling to use to describe it, but that's kind of how oxytocin feels. I call it the warm, fuzzy feeling. So when you notice that feeling, then you're going to know that what oxytocin feels like when it's flowing through your body. And that's ultimately what you're going for. Okay? Give it a try. If you're ready to step into the driver's seat of your own health and vibrancy, which I have to mention is a wonderful thing to role model, by the way, give at least one of these things a try. then head on over to Empowering Energy on Facebook or use the contact page on my website and let me know how you did. I'd love to hear if you tried the oxytocin breath. With much respect for you and the journey you are on, this is Debbie Pokornik wishing you a vibrant and powerful day.
You've been listening to Vibrant, Powerful Moms with host Debbie Pokornik. If you've enjoyed this show, please give us a shout out and leave us a positive review. To find out more about Debbie and her sisterhood of Vibrant, Powerful Moms, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.
This is Debbie Pokornik with a moment for standing in your power. Self-control begins with noticing how different feelings present themselves in your body. When you're feeling sensitive, for example, your chin might quiver, tears might well up in your eyes, and your voice might catch in your throat. Anger, on the other hand, might appear as tension in your jaw, back, or arms, along with clenched fists, heat in the upper torso, scowling, and a strong desire to yell. The more aware you become of your body cues, the easier it will be to recognize when you're on the road to disaster. Choose the emotions that cause you problems, then start noticing and logging the body cues that come with them.